And if he is merciful to us and does not condemn us, there's only one reason. Because that mercy, he purposed that the justice due us, he put to the account of his son. There was a payment made. And therefore, he's not only merciful, but gracious unto those for whom Christ died. But here I see that spirit in David, that the Lord put in him, the spirit of humiliation before God and before men. Even as our Lord walked on this earth and heard the aspersions of men cast against him, he never reacted, nor did he, for that reason, cause lightning to come out of heaven and destroy him. In fact, he told his disciples when they were going through Samaria one time, and the Samaritans wouldn't even give them a place to rest. They asked the Lord, "Do you want us to call down fire out of heaven and destroy these?" And what the Lord said, "You don't know what spirit you're of." There's a time and place for his judgment, and he's sovereign in how he does it. Those that, when you stop and think back, even our own actions against the Lord up until the time that he was pleased to reveal Christ in us, and even since, how he could be merciful to a wretch like me, and gracious. It overwhelms me to think about it, because we deserve the same condemnation as any, and yet if he withholds his hand, it's because that was placed upon his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. It's not for anything else.
So as you read about this Nazirite vow, you can see this fulfillment in Christ. And that's what I rest in. I don't have to go through all kinds of ceremonies and things now in my lifetime and set apart times of fasting and all these things that people do to try to, you know, implement the Old Testament. They go and say, "Well, this is what the Old Testament teaches." Again, I say to you, if that's what you're basing your life and conduct on, you're bound to keep the whole law. And that's what Paul said in Galatians. Cursed is the man. Cursed is the one who keeps not the whole law. You know what it's going to take for you to be in heaven? Perfection. Perfection. You say, "Where am I going to get that?" Right where I'm telling you. In Christ. In Christ. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 2, you see it? Here it's all put together. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. I was separated in that election. Through sanctification of the Spirit. That's regeneration. Set apart by the Spirit. But look at here, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I was separated unto that sprinkling of the blood. Is that blood being sprinkled over and over again? No. When it says unto obedience and sprinkling, you often hear me talking about the blood and righteousness of Christ. Here it is. That sprinkling of the blood was once for all there when he died. That obedience was obedience unto death. And when the Spirit of God separates me unto Christ, he separates me unto that which Christ has accomplished. That's what faith is. Faith doesn't fulfill anything. Faith doesn't accomplish anything. Faith doesn't appropriate anything. What it does is looks to Christ and what he's accomplished. It submits to his righteousness. It rests in what he has accomplished. How am I going to do that? Well, the Spirit of God.
And it's possible to come and with lip service, acknowledge him, and just go right on in one's idolatry. These were written, it says, for examples, and they're written for our admonishing, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That tells us right there that we're at the end of the age. It began when Christ came the first time. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's talking about people that read the Old Testament and what happened when God left these to their own reprobate minds and they fell and he destroyed them. We read that thing, "Oh, that never happened to me." Well, Scripture says, let him that thinketh he standeth. That's those that think based on some profession they made or some works of righteousness that somehow they have a standing with God. Take heed. Now there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So when you see someone else that has fallen in their idolatry and God's destroyed them, don't think, well, I'm different. No, there's no temptation. When the scriptures say, the Lord taught his disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I am as much in need today myself of the Lord sustaining me by his grace, else I would go the way of all flesh, and so would you.